and Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, they're so familiar to us, aren't they? The circumstances, the scriptures. And sometimes when things are so familiar, we forget to really understand the real depths of them. And sometimes it's good just to stand outside and just remind ourselves once again of... you see, if there was no Easter, you and I would be very different people. If there was no Easter. And it's good that we do take time to just think about, with fresh eyes perhaps, and a new heart, as to what Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday means. I was born on Easter Sunday. Yeah. I only found that out decades later. I was born on April the 9th. I wouldn't tell you the year. But I was born on Easter Sunday. So I like to think that when I became a Christian, there was some significance in that. I'm not quite sure what it was, but there we go. But Graham read for us the entry into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. And Jesus rode into the city and triumphed on that day. He was receiving the shouts and the adoration and the welcome of many. We pray that as Jesus comes into Sandy Baptist Church this morning, he does receive our welcome and receives our acclaim. But I want us to walk through the story of Palm Sunday again and show that Jesus knew what was happening. He knew what was happening, even though others in the crowd would not have known, even though others in the crowd had mixed emotions and even mixed agendas. But Jesus knew exactly what was happening. He was entering into Jerusalem for the last week of his earthly life. But is everything as it appears? He's welcomed as king, but yet he displays none of the trappings of royalty. He's not wearing a crown. Nor is he robed in purple. Nor is he riding a war horse, as was the fashion of the time for conquering heroes. There was no trappings of military leader at all, as some in the crowd thought him to be. There was no prancing war horse for him. He's riding on an untrained colt of a donkey, a notoriously stubborn and difficult to ride mount. Was this indeed the Messiah they were all waiting for? And this is where I want you to imagine yourself 2,000 years ago. Excuse me. I want you to imagine yourself 2,000 years ago. Without the knowledge that you know, imagine yourself in the crowd. You've heard about this Jesus around Palestine. You've heard that, he's... He's healing people and he's raising the dead and he's doing all sorts of wonderful stuff. You've heard that on the grapevine. But on this Palm Sunday, he's actually there in front of you. I wonder what you would have been shouting as a member of the crowd. Now you've each got a speech bubble there. And there's some pens and pencils there. I just want you to... Yeah, young man? You want another speech bubble? Does that mean you're going to do two for us? There we go. So you're in the crowd. As a 2,000 years ago. What would you have been shouting? Okay? Well, I'll tell you what I was shouting after I've heard what you were shouting. So who's going to start us off? Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, who else had the hand up?
King of the Jews.
King of the Jews. Yep. Anybody else? You've all written something, so shout them out.
I'm still writing.
You're still writing?
Yeah.
Okay, when you're ready, just shout it out. Graham, what have you got there?
Nothing, but I guess Hosanna.
Hosanna. And Hosanna means? You were shouting it.
Exclamation of praise.
It means the one who saves. Right. This is the one who saves. The one who comes to save. That's what Hosanna means.
Praise the Lord, you come, O King. Yes, the King of Kings is everyone. Hosanna.
Wow, wow. Yeah. That's a lot to say, isn't it? I need a big breath for that, to shout that out. Brother, what have you got written?
I reckon I'll say hooray or something like that.
Say that again?
Hooray or something like that.
Hooray, yeah. Hooray. Oh, all very positive stuff.
Very
good. The King is here.
The King is here. Okay. You've done your thing. Chris, what have you got?
Bless me, bless you.
Bless me, bless you. Well, I tell you what I would have been there. I'm a sceptical sort of person, right? And I need to be convinced before I give myself to anything. And I would have been shouting, Jesus, show us what you've got. That's what I would have been shouting. Show us what you've got. A bit like Thomas, you know. Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas, I think gets a bad press. Doubting Thomas wasn't a bad man in my book. But he wanted to really know who Jesus really was before he would commit himself, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. So, Jesus, show us what you've got. That's what I would have been shouting on that Palm Sunday. Thank you for that. Thank you for writing those things down. But, you know, King was mentioned in a number of your speech bubbles there. But I don't suppose any king in the history of the world has ever appeared in such a humble manner as Jesus did on that Palm Sunday. You know, worldly monarchs have to adorn themselves. They have to wear crowns. They have to bear scepters. They ride in state carriages in order to hide the fact that they are really no different from anybody else, that they're normal, fallible human beings. It's interesting that we're coming up to a time when Charles III will be crowned king, and undoubtedly there'll be wonderful possessions, and there'll be carriages, and there'll be gowns, and there'll be thrones, and all sorts of pomp and ceremony. All clouding the fact, really, and covering the fact that Charles is just another human being. And all the trappings of royalty are given to him. Well, Jesus didn't come like that. See, this king came with no sign of statehood. And yet he had power and authority such as no man has ever had before or ever will again. He has the right to the kingship of heaven and the kingship of earth. And he needed no trappings of royalty to prove himself to anyone. But nevertheless, the crowd had welcomed him as a conquering hero. They'd welcomed him in the traditional Roman way of welcoming victorious kings and warriors. They did that by waving palm branches. But we've got to ask ourselves, I think, what were the people expecting? What did the authorities fear? Who was being challenged by this spectacle of Jesus and the cheering crowd? There was a lot going on. Different agendas, different hopes, different dreams. You see, as I said earlier, most of the people there would have heard on the grapevine about this Jesus. And a man riding on a donkey wasn't unusual either, because that was a normal mode of transport. How did it all start? Well, maybe the disciples started as a bit of a prank, maybe, or a bit of a celebration, and then, as often happens with things, things grow and other people join in. But very soon, that Palm Sunday crowd grew, and very soon it became a real thing. And people started quoting from the Psalms. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," some of them were shouting. And we hear Jesus himself quoting Psalms when he refers to himself as the stone that the builders rejected. And there were people like Graham who were shouting, "Hosanna, the one who saves, the one who comes in name of the Lord, the one who delivers." That's what the prophet Zechariah had prophesied when he said, "See, your king comes." But this king wasn't like that. You know, in the past, kings would die in battle. In the past, if you were at school and you'd done your history, kings rode into battle with their men, and often they were killed. They risked their lives in battle. But today's kings are not like that. They're, in a sense, devalued currency, today's kings, mostly figureheads, without real power, and definitely with feats of clay. And any sacrifices that are made by their subjects, as in the thousands who have died in wars and conflicts throughout the world. It said, "We give ourselves for king and country." That's what it said. We go to war for king and country. So the concept of an earthly king sacrificing himself for his people is indeed an alien one. But this morning we are considering a king who does exactly that. We're considering a king who dies for his people, sacrifices himself for his people, gives his life to save them, gives his life to redeem them with his own blood. We can read about that in Acts. Read Acts 10 when you get home. A king who gives himself for his people. And yet we're considering a king whose power is unlimited and whose reign is everlasting. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus didn't just give himself once at Easter. God in Jesus has given himself every day for us. He's redeeming us every day. Every day. He indeed is a king who sacrifices himself for his people. But yet on that first Palm Sunday, the crowd's expectations were high. They shouted and they applauded. And Jesus gave no explanation. Jesus actually said nothing. So I would have been shouting, "Jesus, show us what you've got," and I wouldn't have got any responses. He then went into the temple and then went to stay in a friend's house. And perhaps the crowd were surprised by his behavior, his lack of action, his lack of words. Surely he should have said something. Surely you should have responded in some sort of way. Everybody in the crowd wanted something. They wanted some reaction. They wanted some reaction to what they were shouting. I'm sure the crowd ultimately were somewhat disappointed, or at least surprised, that Jesus said nothing. But Jesus himself was not surprised. He was not surprised by anything that happened that day. Jesus knew at the beginning of the day that a donkey would be there for him. He knew that the crowd would cheer in different fashions. He knew that the crowd misunderstood his mission. He hadn't come to challenge a Roman authority and power. He hadn't come to overrule earthly powers. He knew that while the crowd were shouting on that Palm Sunday, "Hosanna, the King who comes," he knew that those who were shouting, the crowd, would in 7 days' time, many would be shouting, "Crucify him." He knew that. He knew all of that. See, on this day, Jesus knew he was beginning his final journey to the cross. Jesus understood that he had only come to earth to die, and that the crowd had totally misunderstood his mission. And as I tried to put myself in Jesus' position on that day, a man who had come to give everything, including his life, totally misunderstood by the crowd, how sad he must have been. How sad he must have been that he was so misunderstood. I don't know about you and I, but I don't know about you, but I know that I don't like being misunderstood. Just on trivial things, I don't like being misunderstood. I'll repeat myself, and I'll go on and on and on until I think that whoever I'm talking to, or it's usually my wife, and she understands. I don't like being misunderstood. And that Jesus had this huge agenda which just wasn't being understood. And he knew that he only had 7 days left. How sad he must have been on that Palm Sunday. I should leave you with that thought. How sad he must have been. But on that Palm Sunday, by riding that donkey into Jerusalem, he demonstrated himself to be a peaceful king. He demonstrated himself to be a prophet king. He demonstrated himself to be a servant king and a saving king. And he continues to be all of them things to us today. And a day never goes by that God wants you and I to know how much he loves us. Never a day goes by that God doesn't want us to understand how much he loves us. Let us pray. Father, you give up everything in Jesus for us. And Lord, maybe we don't understand all of the divine mystery of that. But soften our hearts to understand the relevance of it for us as we live each day through our lives and through our the circumstances of our lives. Help us to know that you're giving yourself for us each and every day and through each and every circumstance. And Father, as we begin this journey through Holy Week, revive in us the joy of our salvation. Lord, let us not take anything for granted. Let us not be so familiar with the story that it just becomes a story. But Lord, let it enter fresh and anew into our hearts and our souls, so that we might understand more clearly who you are, and in understanding who you are, understand who we really are as well, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Bless us, Lord, this day. And as we leave here later, Lord, go with us. Go with us into our homes. Go with us into our circumstances, that we might glorify in you, our Father. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing our final